Today we will examine the fourth law of love. And we've entitled this series, Law of Love, for a specific reason. When the religious leaders of Jesus' time came to Him and tried to catch Him, and so that they could accuse Him of being a lawbreaker, they said, which law is the greatest? Which one is most important or more significant? Is there, because if He gave them one, they would say, well, what about all the others? Do you not think they're important? And they would catch Him in this. They're trying to trap Him. So when they asked Jesus this, He said, you know what? The Word of God says that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And thus, He says, all of the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands. And so He kind of had them there. And so we've called this series the Law of Love because it shares with us how we are to live in relation to God. The first four of the commandments show us our relationship to the Lord, how we live in accordance with His will and bringing Him honor. The last six give us instruction on how we are to live in relation to the people around us, how we are to love others as ourselves. And so today we examine the fourth law of love. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is the last in the top four that deal with our relationship with God, how we live in relation to Him on a daily basis. He is to be the top priority in our life. We are to worship Him only and only in the way that He prescribes. We are to bring honor to His name, to give His name the honor that it is due. As children of God, we bear the name of God, and we are to give it the glory and the honor that it is due as we live out our lives for Him. This fourth law of love emphasizes the importance of maintaining our relationship with Him as we break from the ongoing day-to-day living. And we focus for a time on our relationship with Him rather than the trappings of this world. Let me tell you, we, and you know this, we live in a ridiculously fast-paced world. Everything seems to fly by at the speed of life. We eat fast food. We drive in the fast lane. We live life in fast forward. We have high-speed internet, instant downloads, and automatic transfers. Most everyone can be reached instantly by a call by a telephone call or a text message on their cell phone. We have instant access to one another. We are inundated with technology, business, and busyness. Life becomes a blur, and we struggle to get from one event to the next as we navigate from work over to school and then sporting events and then dance lessons and gymnastics and soccer practice, and on it goes. The myriad of things that demand our time, that vie for our time. We struggle to squeeze time in for God by coming to worship. But really, sometimes it's only one more thing on our list of things we have to get done. One more thing that we need to get over with so that we can mindlessly move on to the next whatever it is in your life. Maybe now more than ever, we need to take the time to re-examine the significance of this fourth command. Maybe now more than ever, we need to stop. Feels a little weird, doesn't it? Just to stop. We are so busy. It's strange, isn't it? Just to stop. Maybe now, more than ever, we need to stop the fast forward and we need to hit the pause button in our life. And we need to contemplate the importance and the value of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you brought your Word of God with you, your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. This is where we find the listing of the Ten Commandments. It's our primary text for this whole series. Exodus chapter 20. And in verse 8 through 11 is we find the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says this, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, before we jump too far into this, let's define the term very quickly here. What does Sabbath mean? Because our English word Sabbath is derived ultimately from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which really means that we did not translate the word. It doesn't give the meaning of the word. We simply transferred or transcribed the word from Hebrew into English phonetically. So we just made up a word, Sabbath. But what does it mean? Literally, if you were to translate it, we could render the word in this way. We could say Sabbath is to stop, to cease, to rest, to cease from doing a particular activity. Thus we know, and we've been taught, if you've kind of grown up in the church, maybe through Sunday school as a child or whatever, you've studied the Ten Commandments, and you know that the Sabbath day is to be a day of rest, a day of ceasing. As we dig a little bit deeper into our text, we discover that this abiding principle of the Sabbath did not begin at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, but it is one that is conceived in creation. See, this principle that has been in place, this principle has been in place since the beginning of time. Look at Exodus 20, verse 11 again. Kind of the basis, the emphasis here. It says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them. And He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." This is a reference to the creation account found in the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis. And specifically, it's a reference to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You don't have to turn there, but listen to it. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work." There's that word, He Sabbathed. "On the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had made, or created and made." Here we find that God rested. Now, that's an interesting idea, because normally we think that rest just means to, because we're tired, we've really worked hard and we're weary and we're worn out and we just need to take a break. But when you think of God and all of His creative power and ability, why did He rest? Because He worked for 6 days, speaking into existence creation, and so He was tired? He needed a break? I don't think so. Our God is a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is always there, always ready. He is the omnipotent, the almighty, the all-powerful Creator God. He has no need to rest because of being weary. The idea that God rested simply means that He stopped. He ceased doing what He had been doing. He Sabbathed. He was establishing an important abiding principle for us. He knew that we, not He, He knew that we would need to take the time to cease from our laboring, to be refreshed physically, to be renewed emotionally, to be restored spiritually. Ultimately, that is the threefold purpose of applying the Sabbath principle. To be refreshed physically, to be renewed emotionally, and restored spiritually. Listen, God knows the inevitable rhythms of our lives. He knows that if we work 7 days a week, week after week, we'll begin to lose perspective on the meaning of life and what's truly important. You know that's true because it's either happened to you or you know someone to whom it has happened. You've seen it. If we don't apply this abiding principle from God's Word, we'll get to a point where all we care about is bigger houses, nicer cars, better deals, and higher yields. We'll be worn out physically. We'll be burned out emotionally. We'll be out of touch spiritually. We'll be caught in a downward spiral that weakens our marriages, that devastates our families and our communities, and that erodes our friendships. It will affect your health, and it'll even affect your moral convictions. And so God says, Sabbath, cease. Our text also tells us that the Lord blessed this day and sanctified it. And we see, we are told in the Scripture to keep it holy. So this day is to be set apart from all others, consecrated and devoted to what? Stopping? Ceasing? Devoted to sitting around staring at one another, doing nothing? If you think about what the religious leaders of Jesus' time did with it, they added so much burden to this principle from God's Word. They had 116 different little laws. They listed how far you could walk, how many steps you could take on the Sabbath day before it became work. If you were spelling out a word, you were only allowed to write two letters. All right? Because the third letter might be work, and we better not do that. All right? There's all kinds of different things that they imposed. They made it such burdensome for the people. So what is God telling us in this? He tells us that we have 7 days in a week. 6 days out of the week, we are to work and do all of our labor. Because listen, labor and work is part of God's plan. Labor and work, having a job, that did not come after the fall. I know maybe you don't like your job, and you think that when this must have came after sin came into the world because it's horrible. But labor is something God put it, Adam and Eve in the garden, and He said what? You are to work it. You are to till it. You are to work the ground and take care of it and tend it. Labor is part of God's plan. He wants us to work. But He says that we are to consecrate 1 day out of 7 to cease our laboring and to focus our attention on Him. We are to stop our striving after the many things that occupy our time and effort and that in many ways ultimately, listen, draw us away from Him. It is to be a Sabbath unto the Lord, a day of ceasing all the busyness of life, a day that is sanctified and set apart to be refreshed physically, to be renewed emotionally and restored spiritually. Now turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find a restating of the laws of God. And in chapter 5, we'll find a restating of the Ten Commandments, similar to what's recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. So I want to do a little comparison of those two. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Here's how it reads. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and female servant may rest, may Sabbath as well as you. You shall remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Now, as we compare this command that we find in Deuteronomy 5 with what we find in Exodus 20, we'll discover a little shift in emphasis. Did you see it? A shift in regard to the principle. We find that this abiding principle of the Sabbath was not only conceived in creation, as in Exodus 20:11, but that it is also rooted in redemption. Check out again verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5. Kind of the reasoning behind it all. He says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath." Remembering the Sabbath day is rooted in the deliverance and the redemption of the people of God from their slavery to Egypt. Now you'll remember that Moses was called by God to bring about the deliverance of the Hebrew people. But the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was hard-hearted and would not let them go. He wouldn't listen. So God brought plagues against all the gods of the Egyptian people, demonstrating that He alone is the one true God. The last plague, you'll remember, maybe the worst of all, was the death of the firstborn of both man and animal. The people of God were spared this curse, though, by the offering of a Passover lamb. You remember the story? As God instructed His people what they were to do, he told them this. He told them that they were to establish a feast to memorialize this special day of redemption. The account is found in chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Exodus. Let me just read a couple of verses from a couple of passages just to kind of bear this out. It says this: "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate as a permanent ordinance. On the first day, you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them." It is to be a Sabbath. He says this: "For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast unto the Lord. And then you're going to tell your son on that day, saying, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" The Passover was a week-long celebration to commemorate their redemption and deliverance. Remember that at the time the Mosaic Law was handed down at Mount Sinai, the people of God had just been brought out of this slavery. Day in and day out, they labored under the Egyptian taskmaster, building the Egyptian dynasty and the empire. They were slaves. They had no day off, no vacation, no opportunity to rest, no opportunity to cease from their labor, no opportunity to find relief from the monotony of their daily life. No opportunity to gather together, to come together and worship the Lord and be restored and refreshed on a spiritual level. In fact, as Moses and Aaron began to bring God's message to Pharaoh, their labor was increased and it was made more difficult. Listen to the conversation between Moses and Aaron and the Egyptian Pharaoh. It's in Exodus chapter 5. I just want to read a couple of verses there. Exodus chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. This gives us a sense of the labor they were enduring. Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Again, Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now many." In other words, they're getting a lot of work done. "And you would have them cease?" The word there is the same word that's used in this fourth command. "You would have them Sabbath from their labors?" He goes on to say, the Egyptian Pharaoh got mad, and he goes on to say, "Okay, take all the straw away from them. Keep the same quota. Make them make the bricks without the straw. We'll see how powerful their God is." The Sabbath day remembrance was to be a perpetual reminder of the deliverance and the redemption that God brought about to His people. That they had been freed from their enslavement to Egypt, freed to worship God and to live in joy and in peace. So, from our text, our key text here, Deuteronomy and Exodus, we learn that the fourth law of love was first conceived in creation and that it is rooted in redemption. And now as we find application for us today, we'll see that it is completed in Christ. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said this: "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to bring them to completion." Jesus came to bring completion to the old covenant and to establish a new covenant relationship between God and man. As we make the transition from the old covenant to the new, we'll see that Jesus brought about completion to God's redemptive plan. The redemption of Israel from their slavery in Egypt is seen, listen to this, follow this with me. The redemption of Israel from their slavery in Egypt is seen in light of what it previews, of what it points forward to. Namely, that Christ is our Passover lamb, and that through Him we have redemption by His blood, freedom from our slavery to sin, and the promise of life eternal. God promised the Hebrew people, His people. He promised to redeem His people from slavery. He promised to bring them through the wilderness and to bring them into a land that flows with milk and honey. Surely we see the symbolism in that. That is just what He does with us. He promises redemption from our slavery to sin. And He brings us through the wilderness of our life into a life everlasting, a rest, a Sabbath rest like none other in His presence. Surely we see the foreshadowing there and the symbolism. Through His death, and even more so through His resurrection, God, through Christ, has brought about the completion of His plan of redemption for us. It's easy then to recognize that the pattern established in the Old Testament, Sabbath day observance, is picked up and applied in the New Testament. See, the pattern we observe in the New Testament of the first century church after the resurrection is that the followers of Jesus, the Christians of the day, would meet on the first day of the week rather than the seventh. Because it was a memorial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as He was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. We see this precedent set throughout Scripture from the book of Acts on. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we find the church meeting on the first day of the week. That was their practice. The same is indicated in 1 Corinthians 16, 1, the first day of the week. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, we find John writing and saying this, about writing about being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, not the Sabbath day. Clearly making a distinction between the first day of the week and the seventh day of the week. So, here's the connection. As the redemption brought about for Israel gave sanction to the Sabbath observance in the Old Testament, so also the redemption brought about through the resurrection gives sanction to the sacredness of the first day of the week. But listen, but the change in day does not indicate a change in purpose. As we observe the abiding principle of the Sabbath today, here in this place, we do so with the same intent and the same purpose. To be refreshed physically, to be renewed emotionally, to be restored spiritually. So how do we violate this principle from God's Word, this fourth law of love? How do we violate it? I think that it happens in one of two ways, or maybe on occasion, both. The first is neglect. The first is neglect. We simply fail to recognize the importance of stopping the busyness of life to spend time being refreshed, renewed, and restored in the presence of God. So we have a room full of people who are here worshiping together. You've come together on the first day of the week to worship God. Surely you're not neglecting this at all, are you? Possibly. Let me ask you this. Were you here last week? What about the week before? What about the consistency of your observance of this in your life personally? And although you are here, there is a second way to violate this law of love. It is through formal observance, for lack of a better term. Here's what it means. That is, we simply go through the motions of fulfilling the religious requirement. We come to church, we come on the Lord's Day, we sing songs, we pray a prayer, we go home, and we go right along our merry little way. And it really has no effect on us because we're just putting in our time. It's just a ritual that we have. We've missed the significance of it all. We must fight against both neglect and formal observance. The Sabbath is to be a day set aside in order to set aside selfish indulgence, to cease the mindless servitude to the pursuit of worldly gain, and refresh and refocus our hearts and our minds on the pursuit of the things of God. So let me conclude by going back to where I started. We live in a ridiculously fast-paced world. Everything seems to fly by at the speed of light. We eat fast food. We drive in the fast lane. We live life in fast forward. We have high-speed internet, instant downloads, and automatic transfers. We are inundated with technology, business, and busyness. Life becomes a blur. And we struggle to get from one event to the next as we navigate from work and school and sporting events and dance lessons and gymnastics and soccer practice and everything else, the myriad of things that are vying for our time. We struggle to squeeze time in for God. Maybe you've done that this morning. You struggle to squeeze this time in for God. But really, it's only one more thing on our list of things we have to do. One more thing that we need to get over with so we can get on to the next whatever it is. So maybe now more than ever, we need to stop the fast forward. We need to hit the pause button and contemplate the importance and the value of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Before we jump right into our invitation song, let me issue a couple of challenges. First, to you who are followers of Jesus Christ, who come to church faithfully, and you honor this fourth law of love. Let me challenge you to become consistent in your honoring of God. Is there consistency in your life with the Lord? What is the motivation for you being here? Is it to be renewed and to be refreshed and to be restored in the presence of God? The second challenge is this. I'm sure in a room this size with this many people, there's someone here who has not surrendered their life to Jesus. Somebody here who has not found the redemption that Jesus offers. So let me tell you that God offers redemption for your soul today. He offers you freedom from being a slave to your sin. He offers to walk with you through the wilderness of this life. And He promises to give you the ultimate Sabbath rest for eternity with Him in His presence. So I want to challenge you, as we sing this song, to come forward, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to find redemption. You know, I know that life is hard. Maybe your life is burdened, and you struggle, and you're tired, and you're weary. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." So I want to encourage you to come as we sing this song.